I am Susan Young. This is the interview with Ellen Center for the Arkansas Extension Homemakers Council Oral History Program. This is being done January 31st, 2012 at the Center Home in Winslow, Arkansas in Washington County at a very beautiful location, I might add. Thank you for letting me come out and visit with you today. The audio recordings and transcript of this interview will be donated to the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas. The recording, transcript, and any other related materials will be deposited and preserved forever in the Special Collections Department, University of Arkansas Libraries, Fayetteville, and the copyright will belong solely to the University of Arkansas. Are you willing to give the Pryor Center permission to make the audio file and transcript available to others?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Now, first off, I need you to give me your complete legal name and spell it out for me so we get that right.
Okay. Ellen Darlene Center, Ellen Darlene Center.
Very good. Now, tell me the city and county in which you presently reside.
In Winslow, Washington County, Arkansas.
Okay. Now we're just going to relax, and I'm going to ask you these questions that we've already looked at a little bit. Let me see. How did you first learn about Extension Homemakers?
Well, through newspapers and newspaper articles and things about different clubs.
And how long, we've talked a little about this, how long have you been associated with Extension?
Since 1964.
Would you mind telling me what you told me earlier about the group of ladies that wanted to form a club?
I would love to. There was a group of young homemakers around Winslow. There was probably 10 or 12 of us, and we were so young that we had lots of questions about homemaking, canning, candle making, all kinds of things. And so we were meeting in our different homes and just discussing things. And one day somebody said, well, let's join a home demonstration club. And so we all got interested and began to investigate it. And our president, I can't remember who she was, went up and got us involved in the home demonstration club of Washington County.
Now, at that time when y'all first were just meeting together, before you became involved in Extension, how did y'all keep in touch? Did you live close together?
As I recall, we didn't have phones, I guess, from just one meeting to the next. But through school, mostly through our children's friendships in school and just searching out young homemakers who had questions and maybe one of us could answer mm-hmm. them.
By the way, you're the mother of five children.
Yes,
right?
I am.
Wow. Okay, let's see. So the first club you were associated with, I know we're having a little trouble remembering the name of that first club, but was that when did you become, just a ballpark idea of when you all became involved with home demonstration?
Well, in 1964.
Okay.
I know that because I had a daughter that year while we were organizing, so I remember that.
Did they give you a baby shower?
I can't remember, yeah. But probably, yeah. Yes.
So you were in the midst of raising babies and forming an extension club?
Well, that's why we met at night, because we all were young homemakers and had lots of children. And so we waited till our husbands came home to take care of our children. And then we met at night in each other's homes.
Okay.
And we just did all kinds of demonstrations, like how to make a red velvet chocolate cake, to how to make candles, how to just all kinds of homemaking skills. We shared one with another. But then when we joined the Home Extension or Home Demonstration Club, then we had more access to better, more positive information.
Did you have the Extension, the Home Economist, did she come out to your club?
I'm sure she did that long ago.
Yeah.
But I'm just sure she did, yes.
After you all formed, became a home demonstration club, did you still continue to meet in people's homes?
Or? Yeah, for many years we did.
Mm-hmm. And still learned all those good skills. Like, what do you remember, just one skill in home demonstration that you love?
Just one skill?
Oh, you've got a list. Let's just talk about that list right now.
What did I learn?
Yeah.
Well, now we're talking lots of years, We've learned a lot. Canning, freezing, all about wild birds, and all about Arkansas's gorgeous wildflowers. We've learned about gardening. We've learned about herbs and the use of herbs and quilting, for just a few.
Mm-hmm. Now these topics, how would y'all learn those? Did someone in the club present the topic, or?
We usually had the hostess, and we had meals together too. The hostess planned the meal, and she planned the program. And for many years, that's the way it was. But as we progressed, we kind of went more with the university educational programs that are in our book, our little yearly book. We started following those a lot, but we've always gotten off on our own. And as we grew older, we began to realize that we'd learned how to do most of this stuff, and it was time to go more to compassionate service. So we did that. But one of the first things I remember that we did that I loved so much, we had a home for boys up here at Winslow. It's called Boyland. And one of our members, Margie Trimley, her husband worked up there. And another member named Betty Carroll, her husband worked up there. And they mentioned to us that it would be a good thing to make birthday cakes for the boys on their birthdays. And it was so wonderful, because we bought us a great big cake pan that would hold two cake mixes. And then we took turns. We signed up. Everybody had a turn to bake a cake for the boy. And they were always standing there waiting on us when we took the cake up after supper.
Well, that is such a great...
That was probably one of my favorite projects.
I'm so glad you mentioned Boyland, because I was thinking of that as I was coming out here. And I was going to ask you, is the building still there up on the...
You know, it's closed now. Some people, I think from Texas, bought it and really expanded it as a private place.
Okay, so it's private.
But as far as I know, the lodge where the boys ate and did their games and things is still there. And I think a lot of the homes of the managers and workers might still be there. But since it is locked, I don't know.
Now let me ask you, the lady, Margie, what was her last name?
Trimley.
Trimbley? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to be sure.
Her husband's name was Glenn, and he was a manager, I think, or oversaw Boyland. And Archie Carroll was one of the employees.
Okay.
And so they got us started making cakes. And I think of all the projects that we've done over the years, because of the excitement in the boys' eyes. And there'd be a bunch of them standing out there, but it just meant so much to them. And we made it a point never to forget.
So each boy had a cake?
Well, just on their birthdays.
For the month?
Just if there was more than one, yes, we did.
You would do one cake for the month, or a cake for each boy?
No, I can't remember that.
But either way, that is such, what a sweet thing to do.
I can still see, like, I put one of my kids in the back seat to hold the cake, and I can still see those boys standing out there waiting on those cakes. It meant so much to them.
Do you remember what kind of cake you made?
Oh, just whatever. White chocolate. Mm-hmm. It was just in a pan.
Mm-hmm. Like a sheet cake.
A sheet cake. Yeah. And then we would, it seems like Margie or Margie Trimley or Betty Carroll then would bring the pan back, and the next person up to bake a cake would take that pan home, and they would buy the ingredients for that cake, the candles and everything.
How many members were in your club? Just a ballpark idea.
Well, We usually run about 12.
Okay.
But back then, I can't be sure. Mm-hmm. Some more of our projects you want to hear about?
Absolutely.
Veterans Hospital. We do not a lot. One of our members oversees the Valentine and the tray favors and things for the veterans. And then our next big project is the Children's Hospital. And that's a pretty big one. It seemed like we find a lot of time to make diagnostic dolls, to make pillows, and to buy toys for the children for Christmas.
What's a diagnostic doll?
It is just like you would take a pattern. We have a pattern, and you lay it out. You cut around the pattern. We have patterns. You cut around them, and then you sew this doll. And it's a plain doll. It doesn't have any features or anything. It just has hands and legs and a head. Mm-hmm. And then we take those down to Little Rock. We don't. The county extension does. Takes them down to Little Rock. And when the doctor is going to do surgery on a child, they get one of these diagnostic dolls. And the doctor writes, like, say it's an appendectomy. He will show him what he's going to do and tell him, and you know, what he's doing. And then he signs the doll, and I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think different staff members sign the dolls.
That is a great
maybe they're
work.
Friends. Mm-hmm. But like, say they had a finger operation, he'll kind of draw like a finger on there, but it's just a flat doll with pillow stuffing in it, of course. And then we make cute little children pillows that they can all take home. They take these diagnostic dolls home, too, when they're released from the hospital, as well as the pillows. And then for Christmas, we usually buy a lot of toys. The whole Washington County does, and it has to meet certain requirements. Mm-hmm. It has to be new. It has to be in good shape. Over the years, not a lot, but we've done the unwed mothers, and we've done battered women, and we have cooked for the homeless. I think an awful lot of organizations in Fayetteville cook for the homeless. They take days where they go in and cook. And we did one that really made a hit. It was a Mexican kind of like a taco salad thing, and boy, they love that. In our local community, we've done baskets for Thanksgiving and Christmas to people who were in need. We had a school teacher in our group, and she guided us through some of her knowledge of people who maybe really wouldn't have had a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. And also, this was sad for me to believe, but she said a lot of the children came to school with no underwear and no socks. They'd come with just shoes. Mm. And so our club bought a lot of socks and little underwear for some of the kids that came without them.
Just the most basic need.
Most basic. And we made wash rag house shoes for them, so when they came in the classroom, they would have some kind of a little sock to put on. Mm-hmm. We do the Christmas angel tree every year. And here's a project that I like. We do bingo for the seniors here in Winslow. We all just donate. We buy and donate prizes. And then one of our ladies goes and calls the bingo numbers.
Where is there a senior center here?
It's down across from the ballpark. Okay, down where, across from the ballpark.
Where that canning factory used to be. Okay, sure.
Used to be. Mm-hmm. More canned lots there.
That was a great community project.
It was. There was a little talk about it coming back. And the last project I'm going to mention is gift wrapping for Christmas at the mall. And that's where we get a lot of our money. We used to do bake sales and cook food at auctions or anything to raise a little money. That was years ago. But now we can do gift wrapping, and that gives us money for fabrics and things that mm-hmm. we need for our projects.
What's the name of your club today?
Just Winslow Home Extension. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are a lot of very worthwhile projects.
What did you call it?
Compassionate
service.
I love that. That is the perfect description of what you all do. Compassionate service.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So you are presently a club member.
Yes, I am.
Well, I know it's been many years, but just any memories that stand out for you about your very early years of being in Extension Club when you were raising your kids and had your home?
Hit on those. We made our husbands take care of our children.
They didn't mind doing that?
They better not. At one point, we had more children than we did ladies.
Is that right?
Well, I had five. My friend had four. And, you know, it just goes on and on. Well, they overpowered us.
You couldn't bring them with you.
We couldn't get the gist of the meetings. We couldn't really enjoy it. And the kids made messes from the food and whatever. So we just put them in our husband's hands, and we went on to club.
And that worked out very well.
That worked very well.
That's a good.
We had a lot of fun, a lot of good friends. And I might mention that the friendship I have through the club is very important to me.
Friends that you've had for all these, that you made back
through
in the 60s and you still...
Through the years. Most of my friends that I had back in the 60s are no longer alive.
Hmm.
But
are you the last one from that, think of that early group? Are you the last one?
I'm the last active one. There's two more. One lives at West Fork and one lives at out toward Devil's Den. Mm-hmm. But they have left the club many years ago. So their husbands died and they moved on, but they're mm-hmm. still, you know, still reachable if.
Yeah. And you joined, we've talked about this already, but it sounds like you and the other folks that wanted to join just had a love for learning, to me, it sounds like.
Being a better homemaker, we needed to know how to can, we needed to know how to sew. There were so many things that we needed to learn that we didn't have TV, and, you know, like right today, I sit down to my computer and type in something and up pops the answer. We didn't have access to anything like that back then. We had a few magazines like the Progressive Farmer and a few things like that that might have recipes, but we were hungry for more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did any of y'all grow up learning those things like canning, or did you grow up learning?
Oh yes, I grew up. I was able to teach a lot.
So you could also bring your own skills in.
That's
right. To the club.
That's right.
That's
share our knowledge, and we could pick our program back early. Early on, we could pick our own program.
What did you pick? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh, everything. Everything. Anything like child care. I've been on some committees for child care. That's one of my favorite subjects.
Why is that? What is it about child care that you love so much?
I just love children. I have a great love for children, and so it's been really easy to tell other people about it, mm-hmm. what it takes to be a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had a lot of projects. We always did gardening, and I love herbs, so we learned about herbs.
And why are you still a member today? Why have you kept on all these years?
Oh, gosh. Well, like I said a minute ago, I like the compassionate service, and I like the friendship. It keeps me up with my friends and their families that are all pretty well grown by now.
Mm-hmm.
Guess
mm-hmm.
they everyone are grown. We need more young homemakers, but we're just not really able to find them. They
yeah,
seem to all work away from home.
That's a challenge for the extension clubs, I would think. A big challenge.
It is.
How to keep going. All right, what about, were you ever an office holder or serve on committees?
I have been secretary, treasurer, and leadership. I haven't really been much involved in being a leader as I am, like we said earlier, just more of a worker.
You're a worker bee.
That's me.
Worker bees are what make it happen. What about state council meetings? Have you gone to any of those?
I don't think I've ever been to one. In all these years, I've never been to a state council.
Well, now this next question, this is a big, broad question. How has Extension Homemakers touched your life?
Well, going back to, it's been very educational for me, and it's provided me with service projects that I like to do, and keeps me in touch with friends and gets me out in the world.
What's been your favorite event or activity?
We used to go on trips, and those were my favorite, but they don't do that anymore. We've been to, we'd get charter buses, and we'd go to the Azalea Gardens and Muskogee, and we would go to some museums in Tulsa. And we've been to Branson. We used to do things all as a whole Washington County, but they have gotten away from that. I don't know of it for many years, so I'm assuming they don't do it. I like the entertainment where we meet with other clubs. They entertain us or we entertain them. That gives us kind of more of a one-on-one, and it's just fun to know about other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be my favorites.
The fellowship. It sounds
fellowship.
Like you enjoy that fellowship. I already asked you this earlier before we turned the tape recorder on about a least favorite. Is there a least favorite?
I don't have one. I can absolutely cannot think of one least favorite thing.
That's a pretty good endorsement.
And I thought about it a long time, but I just can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, what changes have you seen over the years in Extension Homemakers in the organization?
In the organization, access for information on the internet. I never would have dreamed that you could just type something in and up it would pop the answers. That's been a big change in our whole county. We do the fairs, but we've done those for years. I think the technology, probably access to technology, is the biggest difference I can think of.
Mm-hmm. That's impacted every aspect of our
lives,
I think.
Yes, it has. It's kind of expanded our world.
Did your club do a booth at the fair?
Every year.
Do you still?
Yep, every year. It's narrowed down from a whole lot of booths to just a few.
I always enjoy looking at those.
Oh, I do too.
I pick up every handout, and there's good information there.
This year we did a one that I thought was really great. It was on therapy on horseback.
Hmm.
I can't explain it, but it's therapeutic to ride a horse, but you have to do it, you know, if you're handicapped, you have to do it under real close supervision. But they have places around here where that was our booth this year, and I really thought it was a good educational booth.
How do y'all pick your topic?
We just get together and have a group conversation, a discussion. Different people submit different things that they thought would make a good fair booth, education, and meet the requirements. And then we have a committee that puts it together.
You said there's about a dozen of y'all active today?
There's probably about 14 right now.
That's pretty good for today.
Oh, and also, we meet at the Baptist Church. We no longer meet in the homes. I think I omitted that a while ago. But for several years now, we have met first in the Methodist Church. Then we met up at the Ozark Native Craft shop for many years because my sister was a member and she managed the shop.
Oh, who's your sister?
Connie Wright.
I know Connie.
You know Connie?
Yes.
She's my sister. Well, she has moved back to Arizona, so we decided to, since we weren't having to go to the Ozark Native Center to do our meetings, because she wasn't there anymore, we started meeting at the Baptist Church in Winslow.
You meet in the daytime?
Yes.
And do you still have a potluck?
Every time.
Boy, that makes it worth going right there.
Yeah, good cooks
monthly,
around.
You meet monthly?
Mm-hmm. Good cooks around here.
Now, I'd be happy to come and do a program for y'all sometime.
You don't think I'll forget that. What do you want to do?
I'll leave you my card before
I leave.
I'd be proud to do that.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Let's see. Well, we're almost done. Has Extension Homemakers taught you anything about people?
Yes, it has.
Like what?
Well, that people have all kinds of different ideas. People are just very different. People are kind and wonderful, friendly, helpful. You just have to get out and know people. Some people need more than others. Those are pretty much the things I've learned about people. But I like most people.
Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else that you've made notes on, or you...
No. I can't think of anything.
I'm just really struck by that term you used, compassionate service.
Well, anytime you serve another person in their time of need, that is compassionate service.
Where do you... Now, this isn't on here at all. I'm just very interested in how you come to have that value. Was that something you grew up...
Grew up with
learning
it.
About or
grew up with it. When you're involved in any church, you're a member of any church, you learn compassionate service and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes a way of life. And I think as long as we can help somebody else in real need, then that's what we need to do.
Well, the world's a better place for you having that kind of attitude.
Well, most people do if you get right down to it.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. I think there's more good about us than...
There is. There really is. You just have to look and you'll see it. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, sometimes some people have so much compassion in them that it's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful people really are. We have our, and you probably know her, she's a past Washington County president. She does so much compassionate work for other people. It's just unbelievable.
Who is it, do you mind me asking?
If it's all right to tell it.
Oh, sure.
It's
You're being very complimentary.
Billy Sue Hughes.
Now, boy, that name is really familiar.
She was president of Washington County last year. And if there's a need, Billy's there. It's just amazing. Now, how does she find out these things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She just knows. And she just seems like she takes care of everybody.
Yeah. The heart of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Or if you
I think that's,
we think we're done?
I think we're done.
Then we'll just push that.